It's time for Stars on Sports,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I'm joined today by our assistant athletic director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalian Lowry. And gentlemen, I'd like to start where we left off from our last conversation. And our last podcast was about Dan Campbell and going for it on fourth down. Dedalian, you and I were in a leadership training last week, and Dan Campbell was, you know,
actually came up
a number of times. More than Ted Lasso, actually, so I was a little disappointed about that. I mean,
but
come
on. Ted was also brought up.
He was, and he should be, because, again, a lot of leadership lessons from Ted. But in our last podcast, we focused on how Dan Campbell normalized going for it on fourth down. And, you know, in our leadership training, he was talking about authenticity and how authentic he is as a coach. But, you know, what I thought I didn't do well last recording was show how he does that. I mean, what his practices look like. And, you know, because my point was, I mean, when they go for it on fourth down, it looks like another play for them. They look pretty relaxed. They look confident. They look like they've done it every day in practice. And if they don't get it, they move on. Where in the past, it used to be like, man, if you don't get it, you know, the game's over. And there are times that could be. So I believe, and I don't know, I'm not at the Lions practices every day, but they treat every rep like it's a game-winning situation. And that helps them not flinch when the real one comes around. And I think that's important. And, you know, Coach, I'm going to rely on your expertise a lot, but that's easier said than done, to try and treat every rep in practice like it's a game winner, or even, you know, having those standards in practice. But it is about that, and it's even more than that. It's about the mindset, you know, because we've seen many athletes, you know, thrive under pressure and athletes fold under pressure, and those are defining moments in people's careers. And, you know, Michael Jordan said it best. He probably missed more game winners than he made, but we're celebrating the many that he did make. So I hope, as we talk about Dan Campbell again, is that part of it, you know, that not just going for it on fourth down, but that mindset in pressure situations. And it is training. It's teaching them how to handle that situation. Like when I played basketball, I actually liked crowd noise because it made me focus. It made me concentrate. When the gym was quiet, that's when I got nervous. Like, what's going on? And I think that's a perfect example of handling mindset. And, you know, we go into issues. Can you cheer during free throws? Should you cheer during free throws? Should you cheer during a volleyball serve? I actually think it helps people, if they've trained properly, to focus better and perform better under pressure. So what do you think, Coach? I mean, a lot of different angle there.
That was a whole thing. One thing that we're teaching is how important it is to be the hardest worker when nobody's watching. If that can be your standard, because what the typical standard is you tend to touch the lines, you tend to work a little bit harder when a coach or people are in the stands or whatever, there's people watching. But if you can flip that and you can be the hardest worker when nobody's watching, then when there are people there, that somewhat takes care of itself, or there is a championship on the line, or it's the fourth quarter, it's the final minute. That stuff will take care of itself because you've built the confidence. You don't need the applause. Nobody's clapping for you. Nobody's watching you, but you're working extremely hard at that point. It takes care of itself.
I agree, because that's training. That's, you know, if you're out working, you're in shape. And I also believe that if you're working hard, you're not as tired physically or mentally, that you can focus better. In reality, most game situations are at the end of the game of defining, you know, the career, that having that work ethic, having that focus, having that resiliency helps you, because to my point is it's that mindset at the end of the game and, you know, changing it around, that you're nervous or you're afraid, and even that game-winning field goal or something, it's getting to the basics. And I want to talk about some of those basics, which, again, you're, you know, really familiar is. And it starts with controlling the controllable. You can't control the crowd. You can't control the external factors, but you can control your breathing, your body language, the routine, to your point of practicing every day when no one's watching. That prepares you better than anything for it. Because you don't know when that situation could arise. And for some, it never arises. And for others, you know, probably some of the better players that you want the ball or field goal kickers, you mean, you know, they don't get paid. I get paid well in the NFL, but not in position speaking. But they can win or lose a game at the end. So they know that. Goalies in soccer and hockey. So that approach to practice, I think, does hit home on being the hardest worker helps you physically and mentally be ready for when those pressure moments take place. Again, another thing I know your team does really well is the mental part of it. And in researching this, you know, changing that mindset from I'm nervous to I'm ready, I've prepared for this, you know, and it goes with routines, it goes with breathing, visualization, self-talk, but really your training, you know. Back to your point of doing everything, especially when no one's watching, because a lot of times in practice, no one is watching. And, you know, how do you handle yourself? You know, like, I can agree. I was a cross-country runner. So our coach would say, go out and run 3 miles. There were some days we took shortcuts, you know, that we ran 2.5. We cut through the cemetery, you know, and that's going to impact us down the line. You know, for the most part, we didn't. And we were, you know, had a successful. It starts with leadership. Starts with, the team leaders, of them helping control those things.
And then ultimately yourself, because you know you're cutting the corner or whatever. Mm-hmm. So ultimately it just comes back to you and making those decisions.
Yeah, and it does start with yourself, because in the end that's who, you know, got to perform when it matters. And how have you done it? And the more disciplined you are, the better chances you will be successful in those moments. So when we were talking about Dan Campbell last week, and they used authenticity. I think of innovator because of this, you know. And again, this mindset hasn't changed. I mean, we can think of, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, you know, Serena Williams, Tom Brady, you know, just pro athletes we think of that, you know, stepped up in game time situations. Or even, you know, I was reading for this an example, Naomi Osaka, who was a tennis player and came back from match point in the U.S. Open. You know, just, you know, like even in volleyball, like when it's 24-23 and you're on the losing side, that next point is the end of the game. What about those other 20 points to get there? How are you, you know, the good teams handle it like any other point, mm-hmm. and the nervous teams, they don't get tense and pressure that, you know, this point could cost us the game. So, again, to your point, it is physical, but I know also you do a lot of mental things in practice too. And in your case, the mental part is more applicable to everything, not just game-winning situations, correct? Do you do anything with game-winning situations, like bottom of the ninth stuff, or is it more just doing one thing and it applies to all?
We try to encompass everything, you know, whether it's game-winning situations that are positive or negative. And it starts at the beginning of practice. But there's a paradox with the confidence and mindset and stuff. And that paradox really feeds into the fake it until you can make it. If you can start working on confidence and mindset, even though you're not quite there, it helps you build it really quickly.
Yeah, and again, I think that is part of the training, is doing it, you know.
Action.
There's still training there. And and I think we lose focus of that sometimes, that, again, we emphasize the game-winning situation, but it's all that training that applies to every play before that event. Like my point was with volleyball, we're focused on the 24-23 mm-hmm. thing, but it really should be treated at the same mm-hmm. if it was 14-13. And I think that's where Dan Campbell had done well in making fourth down like any other play in the game.
Which also ties into the mental side of it, which then goes back to how the team looks when they're going for it. And it's mm-hmm. the ability to teach and learn how to respond versus reacting to things. And that's a mental piece, and that's a huge tool. And you're seeing a Lions team. We're talking about the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell. Incredibly a lot here. But that being said, they're responding. They're not reacting to, oh my gosh, this is a big fourth down situation. You know, if we fail here, this is going to be a really big deal. They're just responding, and they're responding based off of what they do in practice and what the expectation levels are. And so they're not a reactive thing. And for all of us, whether we're driving in our cars or anything else, the more we can work on just responding versus reacting to every little thing that happens, we are going to end up in a much more productive space for ourselves, a much happier space. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in the sports world, you're going to end up you're going to see more wins on the scoreboard.
The Dalian, if you were paying attention in leadership, respond versus react with another big part of our
that
leadership
was, yes.
Training last week. And I think very important. But yes, and again, neither one of us, maybe you're a Lions fan, but we are spending a lot. But it's just because he intrigues me because of this situation. And these situations are defining in sports and in leadership. But, you know, we talk about, like you said, responding versus reacting or the mental approach to that play. But I've seen teams that did panic and threw the ball away. And plus, it's your opponent's job back to controlling the controllables, or, you know, people call timeout the ice kickers, or people blitz to try and, like, disrupt that preparation.
And it works sometimes.
It does work. I mean, I've seen a lot of defenses, you know, that try to make the beat up the play.
Hey, don't miss this shot. You know, just you see people talking to people shooting free throws and no pressure here.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Well, there is a lot of pressure, but you got to change that mindset. And again, that's where, again, visualizing, self-talk, focus.
It starts all before those moments.
Right. And but it is mindset. Mm-hmm. And mindset, as I believe, can be a strength and something that it's like a muscle that can be built. The problem, and again, why I keep going back to this, it's hard to replicate in practice. You know, the game-winning situation that really define, or those fourth-down plays, because it just doesn't mean as much in practice, where, you know, in the game it does, but practice is where that preparation becomes, and preparation is so important in these situations. And I think, you know, we're focusing on that fourth-down play, but today I wanted to focus on all the things that go into making that normal. And it does start in practice. And again, I would love to watch a Dan Campbell practice. And I have seen clips and such, but because it's a balance too, because, you know, you have a sequence of events for a week of practice that usually the day before games are less intense, or, you know, quarterbacks don't get hit in practice.
That's the hard part about it, because, like, if you're really enjoy watching sports and you watch like an incredible game or a match or whatever it might be, and it's back and forth, and you're kind of on the edge of your seat as the clock's ticking down. Once that's over, you're a little bit emotionally, mentally exhausted just from being, you know, the ups and downs. And so imagine having a practice where you're working on all this and you've got those levels way up there. You couldn't sustain that. That's not sustainable on a daily basis. And so that's a part of the reason why it's really hard to be able to mimic that in practice.
And I agree. I think it'd wear you out, or you would lose confidence, or just a lot of different variables, but there is a fine line of you got to practice it, and you have to do it, and finding that balance and working on it, though, in practice is important because, again, it in the grand scheme of things, it's not really a unique or special formula. It's another play. It's the last point. There were 40 points before that, but you know, it is repetition, confidence, and preparation. And the more you train for it, the more you do it. But there's also that the mental part of practicing that. And I'm not, and I don't know if the Lions do that. I mean, mental performance, as you know, again, you're certified and, you know, very well qualified in that.
I think they're probably getting complacent. I think they're like 5-3 right now. So.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but, you know, is that because of this or because of other things? And then probably a combination. And, I mean, but still, you know, even if, you know, the thing, back to your point of practicing hard every day, back to Dan Campbell being authentic, I think they do go hard. And I, you know, I've had that experience that, I had a coach, and we might have talked about him before, that he was the hardest worker I know. And his teams were the hardest workers, and that was our strength. And he made our program more successful than it's ever been in its history. But we didn't have much success in the playoffs, and some of us believe it's because they were tired.
They were dead.
They were wore out. They were injured. They were banged up. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the things where I took strength to the extreme became a weakness. And I wonder if the Lions experience some of that, because it doesn't seem like Dan Campbell lets up. He seems to go all out all the time. But the nice thing at that level is they have the resources. They have staffs. You know, even when I think of mental performance, he might not be implementing it, but I'm sure they have a mental performance coach somewhere in that system. But for the rest of us, and because I think this isn't so important in sport and teaching it and training it and dealing with it, that helping kids succeed in it, you need to do those things in practice. You need to help them prepare for it. And I don't know if we do that enough. And at the great ones, I mean, I'm not sure they did it enough, but they did it, you know. So I wanted to talk about how Dan Campbell does go for it, but the behind the scenes of going for it and what we see on that fourth down play in football, there's so much behind the scenes.
Yeah, there's a process.
Process, yes. And again, that process is just real quickly, you know, just, you know, controlling the controllables, routine, breathing, visualization, self-talk, and trusting your training. And I don't know if we like cover those enough. And I know like that's where I think it's beneficial. Like you know, a lot of our teams on here at LCC have like a 1 week session of leadership, and you implement that since you've been here, and other teams have done it. And this is where you can cover some of that and practice some of that, because again, you can also do it after the practice repetition. And then, you know, we have coaches that do well that bring people in together and go over that. But I think it needs to be an emphasis and a point. And I think the good teams find time outside of practice and covering it and dealing with this and practice it, because practice, you practice the play, you practice the free throw, you practice the field goal, you practice the serve, hitting point, you practice the last 100 meters in a cross country meet where you're running neck and neck with that person. And again, it's having that drive. So, Dedalion, we kind of left you out today. Are there any thoughts or thinking?
I mean, not particularly. I mean, you guys just make me feel like I need to practice more. I can tell you that I am not the greatest at high pressure situations when it comes to sports. I will often choke when I do not want to, and a lot of it is self talk. I get myself in a mode of, come on, this one counts. The one thing that I have gotten better about, though, is response versus reaction. And I noticed a point last night, because it was bowling last night, where I kind of got mad at myself because I threw a gutter. And it was one of those things where I had to brush it off and go, you know what, that's okay. It's, you know, mistake. You go to the next one. And I managed to like get a spare, a 10-pin spare.
Wow.
And it was just kind of funny that I used to get much more frustrated with myself when I would perform poorly at bowling, but I'm noticing like not every game's good, but right. I just don't beat myself up as much about it.
Well, people don't throw perfect 300s all the time because
no.
It's hard.
No, yeah, it is.
And, you know, one way of solving that gutter is putting a bumper up. That's how I bowl. But,
I'm pretty sure there's a regulation there for the league.
Rules. So, but a couple good points, Dedalion. So I'm glad that you did chime in. It's the one you feel like you have to practice more. And I agree with you, but I would also argue it's intentional practice and practicing these things, not necessarily more repetitions, but more repetitions in doing this. And the second thing you bring up is I think a lot of people feel this way, that when we just sit here and talk about it, we don't probably feel like we do well in those situations. And maybe that's where ego comes in. And we'll talk about ego in a future podcast, of having that confidence or having previous success in doing that, you know. And, you know, even within my kids' sports, you know, some, you know, have hit game-winning shots or caught game-winning catches. And it was one time. They weren't in that situation a lot. But I wonder how they feel by if just doing it one time prepares you. I'm not sure it does. I think it has to be a more than that. But it starts with the bricks of one time of having that success and free throws too. So, yeah, I mean, but it also applies just more like I'm talking sports, and bowling is a sport, so we're talking that too. But, you know, these things also apply when you're given a speech or in a job interview or, you know, the other pressure situations in life that where sports help you. You know, I was watching a news show on, and the guy said sports got me out of my funk from the lessons that I learned in doing sports. And he was a runner. So, yeah, so I think those do hit home about practicing more, but not just more of the fundamental skills, but also, you know, all the, you know, consistency and, you know, the mental part of the situation. Certainly. So because in bowling, there's two folds of it. One is winning against the other team, but also if you got a 300 game going in those last couple frames, you know, you're bowling a perfect game, but you're nervous, you know, and you got to break it down back to the principles of just focus, self-talk, you know, don't think about the 300 game. Think about that next, what you've done for that next frame.
Certainly. Yeah. A little twist of irony for you there is that we're nowhere near the top of the game this year.
Then we're moving you out.
And there was a point where I had said to one of my teammates, I was like, well, we don't need any strikes. Don't bother. And, you know, just basically tell them, have fun, enjoy. And he managed to get 5 strikes right after I said that.
That's a paradox, by the way.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And fun, relax.
It's an effort paradox. Yeah. Yeah. So at some point, we'll probably talk about those too.
We should, because a good one is, you know, sometimes we get caught up and we're forcing it instead of just playing and letting I think that happens in golf more than anything. You get over there and think of so many things instead of just go up and hit the ball and rely on your training up to that point.
It was definitely one of the things that went through my brain when you were talking about high pressure situations and people, distractions, things like that. I can tell you that some of my best games, unfortunately, are usually when I'm just out playing all by myself. Yeah. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm not really there doing anything other than really trying to practice the game. Mm-hmm. And I just do very well.
And
I'm always afraid that's going to be the one time I get the hole in one, because then it won't count because nobody's there to see it.
But I think that sums it up in a nutshell. And that's what Dan Campbell had done with fourth downs, is just go out there and do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fourth down. And I think we forget that sometimes. Just go out there and have fun. Just go out there and let your training be your performance, not thinking of all the things that go into what will happen. Mm-hmm. And again, it's very similar to respond versus react and ERO, all those things in a nutshell. So done in summarizing. Anything else, Dan? All right. So two different ways to go today on our food question. One is, and Dedalion, you had this idea, and we can wait on this as well, but we're getting close to the holiday season that normally you have a dish to bring that, like if you're going to a family event, every family has, like in our family, one daughter always brings this, one daughter always brings this. So that could be our question, or we can hold off of that. And the second one would be hard shell or soft shell taco?
Soft shell.
Really?
Yeah, it's not even close. As long as the shell's warm.
Wow. The Dally, now I got to know if you side with him or not. You usually side with him.
Interestingly enough, I do not this time. And what's also interesting is I was soft shell, I think, probably since my 20s. And then it's just recently, all of a sudden, I became a hard shell guy. Even better than that, though, is a corn tortilla that's slightly crisp, so it's almost soft but not quite.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. There's a lot of variation.
Best of both worlds.
Some have the hard, a crunch wrap taco, I think, is like a hard shell on the outside and a soft shell.
And where do you fall on the shell scale?
I'm kind of with you. I love tacos, so I will, hard or soft shell are, and my wife makes, like, she makes them, like she put them in oil and makes them crispy so they become hard shells, and they're like the soft shell material. They're excellent. I'm hard shell now. I probably used to be soft shell, but I kind of like the crunch now, and even the Dorito flavored one.
Well, and that's where I was going to go next as a Dorito fan, because you like Doritos.
Yeah, he does.
Have you tried them? Do you like them?
I've never tried them.
Okay, you haven't tried it yet?
Nope.
I don't know that it's as good as Doritos themselves.
No, but it's a nice little touch. It's hard to taste with the spicy meat and all the toppings on it, but I like the Dorito tacos. I like a chalupa myself. That's kind of that, you know, harder soft shell.
Now, have you done the hard shell with the soft shell wrap?
I have. I mean, I've tried everything, you know, so there are a lot of cool variations. I love tacos, but I kind of like the crunch of a hard shell taco.
That's fair. That's my choice.
You prefer, will you eat a hard shell, or is it just too messy, or you just prefer a soft shell?
I would eat a soft shell, preference thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good stuff. That went a little more detail, and we'll think on the back of your mind, your go-to dish or the holiday season for our next one. But until then, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ studio. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry, and you can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!